Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now, despite rumors to the contrary, there will be no Chinese food tonight at the White House. In fact, the state dinner is tomorrow night, so I guess they're going to have Italian takeout. Why they postponed it, I haven't any idea, but there is no Chinese state dinner at the White House tonight. It will be Italian takeout, I suppose. They want to flavor. Check it out. 1-800-449-8255. Now, we could do very heavy Republican politics if you'd like. Let me just say some things to you, and let's see what happens in your head. I'm going to say Obamacare, stimulus money, Freddie Fannie, WikiLeaks. I'm going to say Acorn. I'm going to say climate science. I'm going to say oil spill response. I'm going to say the Injustice Department under Holder. I'm going to say the czars. I'm going to say Obama's presidential eligibility. And I'm going to say to you, these are the 10 areas for investigation that Representative Daryl Issa, a Republican California, says he wants to investigate. So I hope the ISA man cometh, truthfully, but I don't want to talk about any of those things. Instead, I'm going to give you a little background on the world as we know it. Most of America could care less about all of those topics. The average American cares only about Jets versus Steelers and who is stripped near bare in the New York Post. Now, the reason I'm buying hard copy newspapers, I'm traveling a bit. When I'm back in California, I never buy a newspaper. I don't think I've touched newsprint in years, not that I can recall, although I grew up on newspapers and I certainly enjoy the high from the ink. If they still use ink, I don't know what it is. Do they make it out of salvia leaves or something these days? Because I definitely get a slight detachment from reality when I read the New York newspapers, and it could be the salvia leaf that they're using in the print or in the page itself. But I swear to God, you look at the head, the lead article, the front page of the New York Post. Yeah, let me tell you, my day starts, I bicycle over to a newsstand. I pick up the New York Post and I pick up a local newspaper just to see what's going on. Because there's a lot of New Yorkers down here, the snowbirds and all. And the headline is, not China taking over U.S., not Obamacare ripoff, not stimulus money, where did it go, Nancy, not Freddie and Fannie, where did it go, Bonnie, not WikiLeaks, how did it happen, Barry, not climate science, how did it happen, NASA? Not Acorn, where did it go, thugs? Not oil spill response, where were you, Obama? Not Justice Department, civil rights failures, Mr. Holder. Not Mr. Marx's czar, nor Mr. Obama's eligibility. The average American could care less about any of that. The headlines in the New York Post are such, Jets versus Steelers. The second headline is, Miracle Girl Gabby gives husband massage. Love and feeling. I guess it's a miracle. She got shot in the head and survived. God bless her. Next page. City big slam Dachi for cop slap. No idea what that means. Finally, we get down to the Murdoch genius. The genius of Rupert Murdoch can be seen on page 3 of the New York Post when we see the girlfriend of a ball player stripped down to a panty and bra and a garter belt. And now you're getting down to the serious journalism that Rupert is known for. And it says, Stocking Stuffer Minka. It says, Derek Jeter, you lucky dog. Minka Kelly has something to get off her chest besides a shirt, and they talk about her new movie, which is no doubt distributed by News Corporation at some, you know, sub-corporation, I would guess. Then we see a heavy news story. Mental illness up in college. And I say, aha, let me see if I can sink my mental teeth into this one, because that's right up my alley. Mental illness up in college. Severe mental illness is on the rise on U.S. college campuses, according to the American Psychological Association. Now, that sentence unto itself is an oxymoron, since most of the idiots in the APA themselves are mentally ill. That's why they went into the field to begin with. The number of college students prescribed psychiatric medicines has increased by more than 10% in 10 years, NPR yesterday reported, citing APA statistics. Now let's pause at the end of that little paragraph. The number of college students prescribed psychiatric medicines. First of all, psychiatric medicines unto themselves are overprescribed. Illnesses are overdiagnosed. The children don't need as many drugs, but many of them were raised on dangerous mind-numbing chemicals such as Ritalin and such. So, of course, they need medication for their entire life, which is what the medico-pharmaceutical establishment wants them to need. But we'll read on. Counselors also report an increase in the condition's severity. Researchers say one reason is that with more high schoolers now under psychiatric treatment, many more teens with pre-existing conditions are attending college. So that confirms what I said to you. They're drugging your child in the first grade with for conditions that don't exist, with medications that are poisonous. And so they get to high school and they're sicker. Then they get to college and they're even sicker. Now here it goes. One positive finding is that while severe depression also appears to be going up, the percentage of students experiencing suicidal thoughts has declined. That does make sense in a certain way. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason that Obama is president, because mental illness is up in college. Now we go to page 4. Cuomo soars in poll. I guess Perry Como's records are on the rise now in New York City, because the Perry Como records are up 70% in New York City. Iran zoo kills 14 lions. Okay. Thoreau plants dug up. Jordanian terror trial. Haiti is told bust baby doc. The sleet is on for the Big Apple. Why are they making such a big deal about sleet? I grew up with snow and sleet. That's New York in the winter. What are they making such a mishmash out of something that's so natural and normal? Bikini babe decks hottie at Vegas pool, New York suit. See, I'm giving you the geography of Murdoch's mind. How we range from one salacious article to the next. Video game anxiety link. Jets gear flying off the shelves. Preg gal's car heisted at HOSP. Beach body ID'd. Fans outfit sells for super run. You know, if I read this paper every day, I'd need a psychiatric medication. I have never seen such. How can they mix things up like this? No wonder kids are going crazy. School's big drop in Intel. Down shocking 75% in science competition. No kidding! No kidding! Down 75% in science competition with the morons in the schools today on medication? And you wonder why China's taking us over? Bronx High School of Science fielded 8 of the city's 14 Intel semifinalists. Only 14 city public high school seniors were named as semifinalists in the prestigious Intel Science Talent Search this year, a dizzying plunge of 75% since 1998. The all-time low is part of a troubling trend. Now, you know why this is happening. You know why the kids are behind in math and science and reading and writing. It's because from the first grade on, they're taught how to put a condom on a cucumber. They're taught that mommy has two, that Becky has two daddies, and Harry has two mommies. They're taught that capitalism is evil. They're taught that communism is cool. They're taught that learning is passé, and they're taught that aggression is evil. And so there you see the farce. How does it start? The unions did it all. It all started with the unions. The unions took over the schools. The teachers' unions took over the schools. The teachers' unions put in a curriculum that is guaranteed to keep the students moronic, in cahoots with the media government complex, tied in with the pharmaceutical medical complex. What you have is a drop not only in science, but in virtually every useful subject imaginable. Where I live in California, a few years ago, I commented on this program, The Savage Nation. They spent, they raised a bond issue of $6 to $7 million. And take a guess what they built in the high school. Did they build a new math laboratory? No. Did they build a new computer laboratory? No. Did they build a new science laboratory? No. You know what they built? A theater. They built a theater for all the young pot-headed thespians in Marin County, California, a place where science is unheard of. And so this trend, of course, has now come home to roost in terms of a drop in intelligence, a drop in competitiveness, a drop in overall intelligence, and a rise in absolute and utter mediocrity all the way up to the White House. 1-800-449-8255. We shall go on. We shall go on in Murdoch's genius. We will now turn to page 12 and see what's there. Star has mad jewel moment. Jets over globes. Tom and Nicole in tight squeeze. I'm still looking for news. Now remember, this is the newspaper that is a sister journalistic outlet to Fox News, where you have such esteemed journalists as Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck. And so we're at page 13, and so far there's been no news. Jets fly high after victory. Again, the Jets. Now we turn to page 14. Town to town, a mobile actor. Nothing, no news yet. Page 15. Slammy Awards. Ricky Gervais had folks at the Golden Globes laughing and cringing at the same time with lines like these. I have no idea who Ricky Gervais is, but apparently he set off shockwaves by criticizing all of the people in the Globus Awards, the Globule Awards. Here we go. Page 16. Here we go. New York Post. Disarming MLK tributes. New York bigs plead to honor hero with tough gun laws. O urges keep dream alive. Keep dream alive? Keep which dream alive? Your dream or MLK's dream for a better America? And here we read the article in the New York Post. With the nation still in mourning over the tragedy in Arizona, President Obama and his family yesterday honored the Reverend Martin Luther King by volunteering at a school and urging all Americans to remember the slain civil rights leader's dream of service. And blah, blah, blah. He and First Lady Michelle Obama marked the holiday by painting dancing fruit on a Washington, D.C. middle school's cafeteria wall to encourage healthy eating. Now, not only is this cynical, but it's absurd. What in the heck does painting dancing fruit on a middle school wall have to do with civil rights, Michelle? Moreover, what does slurping ice cream on every trip have to do with telling children to eat healthfully? Moreover, what does eating cheeseburgers at Martha's Vineyard have to do with lying to the children about eating carrots? So therefore, nothing that you read has any meaning whatsoever, whether it be this newspaper or any other newspaper in America. We turn now to page 19. Iraq vet heist. And Arnie vows I'll be back. And of course, it's an article about Arnold Schwarzenegger, the worst governor in the history of California, a man who I called him, well, what it was, right? Israel's Barack dumps labor. How? We're getting into the heavy news now on page 20. Now we're getting into the heavy news. It took us 20 pages to get here. And here it is. Israel's Barack dumps labor. UN files indictment in Leb PM's 05 slate. John Paul's blood bound for new altar. Now think about this. The Pope of the Christian world, the Catholic world at least, is a big story, right? And we read a vial containing blood drawn from Pope John Paul II, shortly before he died, will be installed as a relic in a Polish church soon after his beatification later this year. It's a big story, and yet it's on page 20. Instead, we see the blood of a starlet literally spilled all over the pages of the New York Post. And you wonder why the liberals mock conservatives. Believe me, if it wasn't for me, the liberals would have a field day. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I just want to welcome President Hu and thank him for extending himself to come to visit and allowing us to have our first face-to-face conversation.
That was last year. And, of course, tonight is the big deal because the president is here and he's kowtowing, bending over again, genuflecting to what a man, you know, you certainly don't want to start a war with China over trade, but they've started a war with us. They're trading us into the poorhouse. They're building up their military with the money that they're making and unleashing a stealth fighter that apparently can run rings around our best. And it's very worrisome when you consider they've just built a missile that can sink aircraft carriers with technology that came from who? Iran, Russia, or the U.S. itself? Let's take your calls on the issue of China, friend or foe, on the Savage Nation. Mike in Washington, D.C., go ahead, please. Thanks for calling from TNT.
Yeah, Mike, I got to disagree. I like your show, and, you know, I called in a couple of times, but I got to disagree. We owe a lot to China. We should be having four meals a day. They're buying all our debt. We sold them all our technology. They're not foes. They're actually friends. And I think since this is his big going out rah-rah party, they should have the fruit drawings on the wall at the White House while he's there.
I don't know what you mean by food drawings. What does that mean?
You know, like they did last night for MLK, they should draw some Chinese symbols on the White House walls.
Well, let's start with we should be thankful to China. I disagree with you. The reason they have eaten our lunch is because of whole factories, transfer technology, owing to unfair trade, currency manipulation, low wages, no EPA regs, no EEOC regs, no tort lawyers, no product liability claims, and no workers' compensation. Does that make sense to you?
Well, look, it's the Congress who approved all this, Mike.
A jester in the courthouse who left. Anybody else want to comment on what we owe China? How do you like my list? I just gave it to you. Anyone disagree with any of this? Any lawyers in the House? How come you can't ply your tort trade in China? Because you'd wind up in a concentration camp if you did. If you crippled any of the businesses in China with false tort claims, with product liability claims, with workers' compensation claims that are false, with EPA regulations, with EEOC regs, you would not last too long in China. You can only practice your trade here in America. That's, of course, the truth. Now, I would say that we could straighten out America's economic problems rapidly. Donald Trump actually agreed with me on one principal method, which is establish a 20% tariff immediately on all Chinese goods. Overnight, bingo, 20%. Number two, we're taxing you. We're taxing you and all the profits you're making. See, you don't know anything about business. You don't know what it's like to be an American businessman shipping a product, even a can of soda, to Mexico. Do you know that we pay tariffs going into every country in the world, and we don't charge any? And you morons buy the lies of the Wall Street Journal about free trade. They're lying to you. And you eat it lock, stock, and barrel from the schmucks in the Republican Party. Back, all you Prodigy listeners, to the Savage Nation. I appreciate your listenership. Now, we're talking about a number of topics. I read from the New York Post. I showed you the mishmash of headlines, the salaciousness mixed in with real news, and the real news would be on page 20. The striptease artists are on pages 1 through 19, mixed in with sports and entertainment. And I suppose that's a formula that works in New York City. That's why you have Charles Schumer as a senator. Then we talked about why China's eating our breakfast, and I said it's because of unfair trade, currency manipulation, low wages, no EPA, no EEOC, no product liability claims, no workers' comp. In other words, no tort lawyers. We had a slight glitch technically over to a little store. This is a cute story that has, it's a tourist town that I'm in, right? And they have tourist items, and in the window they have little stupid pillows with little sayings on it, like, and I saw this last night, and I said, I got to get it for someone in my family. You know what I'm saying? They're little tiny pillows, and they have statements on them like, in dog years, I'd be dead. You know, that kind of thing. Cute things. Well, one of them caught my eye last night. It says, you never see a motorcycle parked outside of a psychiatrist's office. So someone in my family rides a motorcycle. I said, I got to get it for him. You never see a motorcycle parked outside of a psychiatrist's office. There's another one I got for myself. It says, any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. Which is true, because I knew people in San Francisco who all said, well, I'm a father. They were like dogs, I used to call them. I got into a lot of fights with these bums, these hippie bums, who would impregnate women. They didn't have the guts to stick around like a father. They thought that they were a father because they impregnated a woman and ran away. I said, you're a father like a dog is a father. Well, I got into some bad scenes with some bad bum left-wing types over there. Anyway, I bought the pillows. So I'm buying the pillows in this tourist store. A man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. You never see a motorcycle parked outside of a psychiatrist's office. And the woman behind the counter is an elderly woman, maybe mid-70s. Sweetheart, And she says, you know, these are made in America. We can still make things. And I said, oh, amazing. These are made in North Carolina. They're not made in China. And sure enough, they're made in North Carolina. And she says, I don't know what's wrong. She said, the people in this country are smart and they're hard workers. I said, well, maybe when we get rid of the Democrats, we'll have manufacturing again in America. Well, some old guy from New York took exception to what I said. And, of course, we had an argument. I walked out of the store. I didn't want to waste my breath on some old wobbly from Manhattan who was enjoying a pension down here. Anyway, there we are. That's the story. That's the world according to Michael Savage. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Let's start in New York City. Donna, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I agree with you. We are losing this country because we're losing our culture. People, as we approach Ronald Reagan's birthday, people wonder, is there going to be another Ronald Reagan to save this country? I don't think so, because the World War II generation is dying off, and all the other younger generations don't have a sense or know how to think. But I want to also say that people...
Well, they were taught not to think. They were taught thinking is unpatriotic. They were taught that thinking is painful. They were taught that thinking is dangerous. They thought that thinking was somehow un-American. They were taught that only people who are conservatives and right-wingers think. Real Americans listen. Yeah, it's been a real job done in the heads of our children, no question.
Yes, and politicians say, oh, God bless America, as in this speech. They're betraying us right and left. And a perfect example that I am so disgusted about is Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. He has just appointed to a judgeship a Muslim lawyer sympathizer. Now, I was disgusted with him not coming out and saying something about the mosque at Ground Zero. There are so many New Jersey residents who have died or have lost someone to 9/11. And now I have to worry about...
Here's the problem. Let me say something. I know a little bit about that scandal, but let me explain something. I think Chris Christie is a good man. I think the man is a very fine politician. No politician is going to give you 100 cents on the dollar or 100% of what you want. You've got to watch him. He certainly isn't an equivocator or a vacillator or a middle of the roader or a quisling like Brown from Massachusetts, is he?
I wonder myself. I wonder if he, as a politician, looking for Muslim money for his next campaign. What is it that motivated him to be so soft with the Muslim issues?
You know, this is a sideshow, and I can't get so distracted. I you know, your indignation is righteous, but I can't get into it because it's not that big of a story, okay? There are bigger problems than Chris Christie appointing a Muslim. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Now let's go to a caller down here in Florida. Charles in Fort Lauderdale on WFTL, Fort Lauderdale, 50,000 watts. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, we pulled our pants down and gave it to the Chinese during the Clinton administration when we sold, when Loral Aerospace.
That's right. It's an old story, right? Yeah, Bernie Schwartz. It'll say the name. Say it like it is. Bernard Schwartz, Loral Space and Technology. Biggest donor to the DNC. Bill Clinton's friend. Sold the technology to China. Yes. And Bernie Schwartz is laughing all the way to Switzerland along with George Soros. So what are we going to do about it?
Michael, at that point, it was over. Before that technology was sold, they could only put one warhead on each missile. Now they put 10 warheads on each missile, just like we do.
Not only that, but before Loral, meaning before the traitor, Bernard Schwartz shared the technology with China, their rockets were crashing on the launch pads. This all happened under the tenure of Bill Clinton. I know this. This is not ancient history. But, Charles, a lot has happened since then. The country is dumbed down. They're sports and sex mad. They could care less about any of this. You know this. You name it. This is a nation of beaten people who think that buying a shirt of a certain color or picking a color of a car with a different color upholstery is a mark of freedom. They're all slaves.
It's bread and circus.
What do you want me to do? Okay. I'm going to eat my heart out over this. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm planning right now? My birthday is March 31st. That's my birthday every year because I was born on a certain day, March 31st. So I have not done a public appearance in 5 years. I did one, I think, 5 years ago for a local station. And I think I may be coming out of retirement. I'm going to take a baby step and do one in my own backyard. I'm thinking in Marin County, California, for my birthday, because I want to just say hello to all of my local fans in the San Francisco area. I may or may not be able to do others around the country owing to, shall I say, energy and health reasons, which is my own problem. I'm great for the show. I can do a great show, but I'm not a guy who really enjoys traveling, and I don't even like public appearances because they're extremely draining. I don't know how the people do a radio show, a TV show, and every weekend another appearance with a blackboard. I don't understand it. I don't even know why anyone would be motivated to work like that, truthfully, but to each his own. You know what I'm saying? So now let's look at another local newspaper here down in the area that I'm in. The Palm Beach Post, very left-wing. Gifford smiles, rubs husband's neck. Israel's Barack bolts Labor Party in the news. That's at least it's on the front page compared to Murdoch's New York Post. Steve Jobs on medical leave. Actor Douglas on his cancer. I've got it beat. I wish it were true. I don't believe it. Incidentally, it's not that I know for sure, but unfortunately we had relatives in the family who also were told they had it beat. And I'm sorry to tell you, a year later, they're already on the ground. The doctors do the best they can. They're not evil. I mean, they burn you, they cut you, they poison you. They give you false hope. They keep you alive a little bit longer. You have no hair. Your whole body goes to pieces, and you feel like you're going to survive it. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, the scythe gets you. You know what I'm saying? Coalition pushes states to go for it on high-speed rail, seek private help. High-speed rail. Who's going to ride high-speed rail? This is such nonsense. In a nation that loves cars, what's with the high-speed rail? What is the high-speed rail? Who's going to ride on a high-speed rail? Nobody. Health law kills jobs, Researchers doubt it. So a left-wing front group says that the health law will not kill jobs. The claim has no justification that it kills jobs, said Mika Weinberg, a so-called senior research fellow at the so-called New America Foundation's health policy program. Now, they're calling the New America Foundation a centrist group. It is a Marxist front group, not a centrist group. But it just shows you what the McClatchy newspapers are capable of. It says researchers doubt that the healthcare law kills jobs. This putz who wrote this story, Mika Weinberg, I guarantee you never had a lemonade stand in his life. Go ask a businessman who just had to lay off 30 workers because of Obama's genius socialist medical system. Don't ask Mika Weinberg. 1-800-449-8255. What else are we talking about in the Savage Nation now? Well, a lot of things. Will this be the year of the rabbit for Obama? What do I mean by the year of the rabbit? What do you mean year of the rabbit? Well, the president of China is here. He's basically mocking the United States. He's used his junkyard dog, Kim Jong-il, to threaten us. That's the fellow from North Korea, those of you who don't know who he is. He unveiled a stealth fighter plane just as our Secretary of Defense was visiting. He attacked our own currency yesterday by saying a dollar-based system is a thing of the past. And yet here he comes to the U.S. and Obama genuflex to him. We roll out the red carpet. Half a dozen uniformed soldiers, instead of defending the U.S., were forced to move a massive red carpet for the Chinese president to walk on once he got off the Chinese airplane. Now, well, by the way, it gets even worse, and we'll tell you more about that. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I mean, look, I could straighten the economy out pretty quickly. Number one, tariffs on all goods from China, but I wouldn't single China out. I'd put them at the top of the list. 20% tariffs, tax all of their profits. The way we are tariffed and taxed when we send anything overseas, that's number one. Number two, get rid of the EEOC in the United States of America. You may not know it because most of you don't own businesses, but the EEOC is the single biggest job killer in the United States of America. Many of you think the EPA is bad and it is terrible. However, there is a somewhat of a justification for some portions of the EPA regulatory processes because I believe in clean airs, waters, and places. And we certainly need to control people who would destroy the airs, waters, and places. not to the communistic extent that the EPA has taken it. But the EEOC has no place in a free market society. It is nothing but cops and regulators inside the government who destroy businesses. That's all they do. Tort lawyers. I would completely reform tort law in the United States of America. You may not know it, but tort law is almost unknown in Europe even to this day. And that is a fact that's little known because the government media complex doesn't even let you know that the kind of lawsuits that we are subject to in this country don't even exist in Europe with regard to products and product liability. Workers' compensation, one of the biggest rackets in the entire history of the world. So you say, well, what can you do? Oh, a lot could be done if we had honest politicians. A lot could be done. Workers' comp, product liability, tort law, EEOC, EPA, currency manipulation. You don't have to sit here wringing our hands. All we need is a leader to take it all on. That's all. So let's move on because I already feel I'm struggling with this inside. And I could tell once I feel it, the tension building in me, it means you're not listening already anymore. So let's look at other stories here on the the FCC approved the merger of Comcast with NBC. Isn't that interesting? Comcast, NBC Universal is now one company. That's interesting. Interlocking corporate directorships takes on a new meaning now. FCC approves Comcast, NBC Universal. And you wonder why the people at MSNBC and NBC are so pro-Obama? Because they were told to be so in order to make sure the merger went through. Let's see what else. I'll look at the Drudge Report. I don't even want to look at my own website. Police seize guns after Los Alamos standoff. Physicist being held for psychiatric evaluation. That's interesting. Let us see here. Canadian tourist accuses Mexican police of gang rape. That's interesting. Well, is any of this of any interest to you? Cheney says he may have to have a heart transplant. Is that a story? I don't know. It's over. Lieberman says he's not going to run for re-election. What's that all about? Why is Lieberman? Hadass, why is he not running? Why? Did he get scared? I mean, I hope he didn't get scared from the Tucson thing. I mean, Lieberman is, you know, a wishy-washy guy, but he's come out 80% on the right side of things. He's a good guy. Bill Clinton is back. He's in Chicago backing Rahm Emanuel. Cost of Portuguese debt rises to unsustainable levels. Has anyone in this audience ever bought anything for Portugal? Does anyone know where Portugal is? Does anyone know what Portugal makes? Does anybody know why Portugal has never been rolled into Spain? I know it's a separate language and they once ruled the world. You may not realize it, but the Portuguese once conquered most of the Western Hemisphere. In fact, it was Portuguese conquistadores who brutalized the entire indigenous population of Central America. You may not know it, but you look at some of the names, they were Portuguese. This, of course, is no reflection on the Portuguese people of today, but you get into the history of it, you realize what could happen to an empire. Portugal was once an empire that ruled the seas. Portugal sent their explorers, or you want to call them explorers, you can if you wish, you can call them pillagers, into the Western Hemisphere. And they brutalized the indigenous people, the Indians, so to speak, in ways you cannot even imagine. Do you know that in Brazil, in the early days of colonization, the brutal Portuguese would have Sunday events in a park for the colonists from Portugal, where they took Indians from the jungles like animals, tied up their hands and feet. They brought them into the town square and they shot them out of cannons, and the crowds of ladies and gentlemen and children would applaud and think it was beautiful. Cannons. Now, this is a part of a human history that should be talked about so that we don't just hear how bad America is, you know. You want to look at the horrors that people have gone through. You don't have to look too far. Believe me, wherever you touch a stone, you could turn up a horror. The other day, as I said, Congressman Alan West was at my house for lunch with his lovely wife and children. And I think the first thing I said to him was, it must be tough flying back and forth to Washington to your district in Florida. And he looked at me and he says, well, not as tough as the guys over in Iraq and Afghanistan who were taking bullets so that we could have freedom over here. I said, you're right about that. I said, it reminds me of a guy I once met when I first started in radio, and it was so hard to do radio every day. And I told him it's very wearying, and he said to me, not as hard as changing tires in Detroit in 30 degree below weather. I said, yeah, right about that. So it's good to put things in perspective instead of reaching for a pill. Try to think about what people are actually suffering in the world. I say to myself over each and every day. I know it's a hard way to live. You have to remind yourself of the Holocaust every day, or the Middle Ages, what was done to people during the Crusades, in order to get through a day and not feel that something's wrong with your life. I don't know. Some of us have to do that. Some have to do that. We don't like to reach for a pill. Yes, a beer at the end of the day is nice. As a matter of fact, two beers at the end of the day is even nicer. As a matter of fact, some days, a scotch and two beers is even nicer. When you're dealing with the kind of business I'm dealing with, when you consider I never take a drink during the day, I never take a drink before a show or during a show. Never. Actually, I did it once about a few months ago. 2 minutes before the end of the show, we experimented. It was horrible. You can't even form a thought when you have a drink. Do you know that? It's impossible to do a radio show. I don't know how they can say some people in radio are on alcohol or war. You can't do this with alcohol. You can't think. Your mind doesn't work. So what is it you want to talk about? The horrors of the universe, the pleasures of the universe, little cushions from North Carolina with cute sayings, such as the ones I read to you, any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. Or the one that I'm going to give to a special family member. You never see a motorcycle parked outside of a psychiatrist's office, which I think is great. I don't like the sound of motorcycles going by, but a lot of guys apparently do, so I figure if they like it, I like it. What am I going to do? Everything bothers me anyway, so why focus on motorcycles?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
As the world turns, he who is low is now high, and he who is high is now low. It's an old Bob Dylan song. Remember that one, Beowulf? And of course, I'm referring to China has turned the tables on us, and they've only begun to show their power. The dragon has only begun to show what they're capable of. And the freedoms that we are enjoying now will be, perhaps, unless a miracle occurs, let me put it in a way that doesn't alarm millions of people. The freedoms that we currently enjoy 10 years from now could be, let us say, a thing of the past. Unless we get rid of the quislings who have run us off the rails as a free nation. And when I say get rid of, you know I mean the ballot box. Don't twist my words. Don't play your little liberal games with me. We had 100 of them thrown out of office in October. You wouldn't know it. In November, you wouldn't know it because of the McClatchy and the Scripps and the others in the government media complex. 100 of the bums were thrown out, and it's still business as usual. And at least a couple of them out there are making sense. Here's Representative Daryl Issa, California, says he wants to investigate various policies of the Obama administration. Obamacare, where'd the stimulus money go, Nancy? Freddie and Fannie, where'd the money go, Barney? WikiLeaks, who leaked it to them? Climate science, we know that it's a complete fraud. Acorn, how much federal money was sent to Acorn? What was it used for? Oil spill response. Why was Obama so, let us say, incapable of taking on the oil spill? Was science politicized with the administration's rosy estimates of how much oil was left? And why were foreign drillers permitted to drill in the Gulf of Mexico while American drillers were closed down? the Justice Department under General Eric Holder. Why is he still trying to try enemy terror combatants in criminal courts? The czars, why is he still able to appoint communists to office? And finally, Obama's presidential eligibility. Daryl Issa says this should be easy to settle once and for all. He says even Hawaii's Democratic Governor Neil Abercrombie says President Obama's birth record should be released. He says, let's see what the White House does if a congressional subpoena is issued. Do not call me on the eligibility, please. No birthers today. Please leave me alone. Here's another story. Bill Frist tells Republicans to drop efforts to repeal health care reform. I'm not shocked by Bill Frist. But here's a shocker for you, not for me. John McShane calls Obama a patriot and rejects critics who say he's unworthy to lead. There he is again. There he is, the Valley of the Dolls himself. And it's all on michaelsavage.com. I've linked them all up. But none of this seems to, it's not gripping you. I can sense it. Yesterday's show was so superb on the prodigies that today already is a letdown. You're not that interested in the China and the thing and the China trade. I can sense it. I have a fifth, sixth sense for this business. And I don't know what the people care about, the Jets versus the Schmets. I don't even know who's on the paper today. I don't even know who the teams are. I'm so disconnected from sports. I don't even know who was playing or how they won. Right now, I'm more concerned with the weather. Because here we snow again, according to weather.com. As one system exits, a new winter storm will take a cross-country ride, pummeling the snow-weary northeast. So the snowbirds will take another flight down to Miami or point south. You're going to get it very soon again. It's been horrible on the West Coast. Everyone tells me fog and cold. I mean, I left it behind. I couldn't stand the fog. I like the cold, not the fog. I hate the fog. You know, once in a while it's romantic. You play the Green Hornet with the collar and the hat. But day in and day out and no sun, it can get to you. Now, I'm in Florida. I got the humidity. I hate it here now. I can't stand it. I hate the humidity. It's driving me crazy. So I'm trapped between humidity and fog. I don't know which way to go. I don't know where to fly now. Where do I go to get out of here? If I go back home, I get the fog, which I don't want. If I stay here, I sweat like a dog. I don't want to sweat. So today I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, I think I'm going to shave my beard off. I know you're saying, what does it have to do with China? Nothing. I'm just thinking out loud, like moving around. I don't take medication. I don't need it. I let my mind wander. If it wants to wander, it wanders. I don't, do you control your mind? Are you afraid of your mind? Are you afraid of your mind? I'm not afraid of my mind. Wherever my thoughts take me, I go with them. That's all. What are you so afraid of? You know, I once shaved. Let me tell you about my beard. I think it's more interesting than talking about Obama and the Chinese premier. I was always young looking. And as I told you, I skipped the grade and I went into school in the early grade. Remember we talked about, I went into school at 5 and I skipped the grade. So I graduated high school at 16, which wasn't particularly young, but I was a young 16. I was a good looking kid and very young looking. Okay. Very handsome young boy at the time. And, the problem was, I went to college at 16. It was a little too young for me. But, all right, I went in anyway. I try to keep up, you know, and you get in with the wrong crowd. I didn't hang around with the kids who wanted to be doctors and lawyers and accountants. They were, like, too square for me. I hung around with the Henry Miller, Jack Kerouac kind of girls in the black leotards, you know, the ones everyone thought were so cool today. They're not even in Boca, the girls. The black leotard crowd, they don't even have the oxygen tanks with the walker. They're gone altogether. They went by 40, they were dead. The square girls are still alive. They have the rocker. The square girls, the ones who were married to doctors and the dentists before they killed them with their being a yenta, before they knocked them out with a heart attack and a stroke or suicide from hocking them to death with their personalities, all the Robertas and the ones who married the doctors, they're still living. They're still kicking. They're walking around. They're still working on husband number 4 if they can find him. There's a slim pickings down here. I was very young. I graduated college young, but my father had a heart attack. So I had to leave college for either a term or a year. I don't remember, run a store. It was no great stress, frankly. It was okay. I had to do it. So I graduated college. I was still young and I got a job teaching in the 7th grade, right? So I looked young. I looked in the mirror and I didn't look older than the kids in the 7th grade to me. So I said, how am I going to garner their respect if I don't look older than them? So I grew a beard, like a goatee beard. I'll never forget. I was like 21 years old, and I grew a beard to look authoritative. I guess to a kid, it worked. You know, there's Dr. Savage. No, it was no doctor at that time. Mr. Savage with the chalk, with the atom, the molecule, this, the proton, neutron, atoms, pizza, Chinese. And a whole period is a blur in my mind, but I grew a beard, all right? So now I've had a beard all my life, but once the children were in junior high school, I got a bug up my you-know-what to shave my beard off. My daughter was in the sixth or seventh grade, and she always knew me as a father with a beard. I guess I went through an early to mid-midlife crisis. I shaved my beard off one day. She came home and screamed. She dialed 911. She didn't know who was standing at the top of the staircase. So I immediately grew my beard back. Then I tried it again about 10 years ago. My son said, I don't like the way you look, so I grew it back. But now I don't want it anymore. I'm looking at it. What do I need a beard to make me look older at my age? Think about it. I don't want to dye it. I don't want to use Just for Men. That stuff is poison. Who wants to be one of those guys with the Just for Men and a toupee and a false this and a false that? I don't like Just for Men. I tried it. I got a skin condition from it. Do you know that when you dye your hair, it's so toxic? How do women do this day and night? Different color hair. I don't like the blonde. I'm going to be a redhead. I'm going to be a pink. I don't know how they do with these girls and they don't get sick from it. But then again, of course, many of them do. It's not a joke, you know. The dyes in these hairs for men, what do you think, they're non-toxic? They're very toxic. I used it once many years ago. I tried it to make my beard brown. I looked so weird because my hair was already salt, a little salt and pepper, and the beard looked like Saddam Hussein. It so didn't match. So you say, well, why didn't you put it on your head, schmuck? I mean, you dyed your beard, not your hair, and why don't you go all the way? I don't know why, because I didn't want it in my eyes or something. Something like that. But the beard was so disproportionately dark-colored compared to the hair, I look like a bad actor playing Saddam Hussein in an Israeli play of King Haman during a Hanukkah celebration. It was so awful that I never used the stuff again. Plus, I got, itches all over my body. So I just looked at the mirror today. I'm going through again another crisis. I think I'm going to cut it off. What's the difference? What do I care? I just had a book tour, right? I did the TV. If it don't work, I grow it back. That's the beautiful thing about being a man. Let's say I shave it off and I look too much like an uncle I didn't like, which is what I'm afraid of. I'll say, oh, God, I really look like him. I'm going to grow the beard back anyway. But I don't like that spriggly look. A lot of young guys, they have like a half a beard. Like, they look like unshaven. What's that about? What's that? Either you have a beard or you don't have a beard. Why does everyone at the Golden Globes have to look unshaven? What's that? What's the unkempt look? When did that become fashionable? Anyway, so I'm just rambling. I'm looking at the weather. Another northeast wintry mess. Winter storm warnings posted for northeast. Australia, new flood warnings. Death toll climbing from Brazil mudslides. Here we snow again. River wipes out road. Best time to travel, ski season. I took a nap this afternoon before the show here in the humidity. It was disgusting. I hated how to turn the air conditioning on. I hate air conditioning. I don't like it. It gives me a sore throat immediately. So all I could think about was getting back to California in February in time for the ski season, which started 2 months ago. And then I said, Edie, you don't ski anyway. What's the ski season? What do you think you are, Ernest Hemingway? You're going to go to, like, Sun Valley, Utah now? You're going to go skiing now? You're not going to go skiing. I'm going to talk myself into going back to go to Lake Tahoe again for the snow. I'll go through a whole 1 month of planning. I'll go up for one night to a hotel. I'll complain about it all night that there's too much smoke. There's too many crowds. The people in the room next to me are having too loud a sexual time and I can't sleep. So I won't even go to the snow. That's why I'm not going to go anywhere. I'll be right back.
But 2 years into his administration, the president, who has talked openly of his faith,
I'm a Christian by choice,
has not picked a local church. Instead, he's opted for the private chapel at Camp David during a few weekend visits there.
Yeah, really, the private. Oh, yeah, when did you pray, Mr. Obama? Oh, yeah, when we're at Camp David, we get down and we pray to Jesus. Oh, really? No kidding, really. Whatever happened to Reverend Wright? What do you mean he's a Christian by choice? That leaves a question, like, so you're not a Christian by birth because you're a Muslim by birth, right? It's everything we said? Yeah. Well, unto itself, that's not horrible. There are many, many millions and hundreds of millions of Muslims who are terrified of the Islamists, which you should know about. They despise them, and they love America. They only wish to God we would be more vociferous in our pursuit of freedom. But we don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about whether I should shave my beard in the weather, because I think that that's as interesting as anything. So do you look at the weather? Are you kind of obsessed with it? It's become a thing with this climate change. I look at the weather now. I go on my local newspaper. I click the weather the 5 days. Well, I'm a boater, so I always want to see what the weekend's going to be. But now I'm down here in another locale in Florida. I have no boat here. I sold the boat. I sold her the first boat I had here for a season and sold it. You can't manage a boat from afar with the hurricanes and this. You never use it. I don't even miss it. The truth is, I don't even miss it. I don't even want a boat here. If I want a boat, I'm going to rent one on Saturday with a captain. You know what I mean? But I'm looking ahead. It's a 61 degrees tonight. Thank God I could sleep with the window open, with the fan on, with no air conditioning. So that's good. Tomorrow, 79 high. That's all right. That's what you expect. Partly cloudy. Thursday, partly cloudy. 80 already. Gag. Chance of precipitation, 10%. Friday, isolated thunderstorms. Okay, that's good. And Saturday, I'm going to have rain down here. 69 degree or 48 at night. I'll stay then. I like rain in the tropics. It's kind of exciting when the leaves blow around and the water churns up. Yesterday, we had like a little tornado watch out here. The water was so exciting, well, alive. You know, you wonder how people go out in boats in that weather. With such, you know, 10-foot waves and whatnot, white caps. So what would you like to talk about? China, the weather, my beard, snow, Nashville. Snow in Nashville, that's amazing. Birmingham. You know, when I fly into Florida, it's an amazing thing. When you fly, like, on the route we take, the last land we hit before the panhandle is, the peninsula, rather, is New Orleans. So then you leave New Orleans, you start going over the Gulf. It's like the spill never happened. The shrimp now come in already pre-oiled. You don't even know it. They're pre-greased with oil on them. We don't even know we're eating greased shrimp. They taste the same. And then you fly over. You got a good hour. And then you hit the west coast of Florida. You see the swamps, man. I was like, what the heck was Ponce de Leon looking for in the swamps? What was he after? Those guys were tough. They were brutal to the Indians and what. But how did they have the guts to? They didn't know where they were. The maps. But you see the swampland from the Tampa area over, and the phenomenal quicksand and whatnot. And then you got to go for hundreds of miles until you land. And you finally see people from New York eating knish. How did they build such a civilization over here? I wonder. Who did all of this? It started with Miami, right? Because the whole northern Florida is so different politically than southern Florida. Northern Florida, you have like normal people, like from here, like Floridians. They look it. They have like a leathery look to them. They're like lean. Everyone has someone in the Air Force who flew F-4s in Vietnam. And they all vote. They're all American. You get like Orlando and south, you're ready into commie land. You know, with little pockets of patriotism. By and large, the New Yorkers came down here. They bring all of the New York ILGWU mentality along with them. And mean, man, are they mean. They're not nice. You try waiting on a line in the deli down here for a bagel. You see how mean they are. What's this such hatred? What are they so hateful? They vote in two states. They got unlimited welfare, capitalizing on three or four identities. They know how to vote with hanging chads. Why are they so angry at everybody over a piece of lox in a delicatessen? I don't understand this. Thank God you can't conceal and carry a seltzer bottle here. I'd really be.
The White House seems to be leaving the door open just a bit that the first family will settle on one congregation. A White House spokesman saying that the president and the first lady are still searching for a church home, but that in the meantime, they'll continue visiting other churches in the area.
Right. They're still searching for a church after 2 years. Like maybe by the end of the administration, they'll find one. So should we be frightened of China, or is it all hype? Remember what happened with 1980s Japan. Remember how we were all afraid of Japan? Remember that? We were told they would own the United States. And yet they've been stuck in a lost decade now ever since. I mean, maybe there is a silver lining here. I mean, I'm not so sure that China's going to be the great dragon who's going to eat us alive, frankly. I don't know what's going to happen, but I have faith that at the end of the day, the Yankees will, when I say Yankees, I collectively mean the American, is going to triumph. It doesn't mean that China isn't a major worry, okay? It's certainly moving up in the world. There's no question about that. But if we can get a more patriotic administration in power and straighten out the currency manipulation, get rid of the EPA regs in this country that are killing businesses, eliminate the EEOC, which I would do tomorrow. The worst thing in the history of America for business is the EEOC. Rein in tort lawyers, put them out of business, eliminate product liability claims entirely. They're all made up. And, of course, greatly, greatly draw back on workers' compensation claims, which are 90% fraudulent in my estimation. You can absolutely guarantee that America will thrive if we did that. And the fact of the matter is, ask yourself this. How much does the average worker in China make? Right? I don't really know the answer. I have no idea what they make right now. But in 2009, you talk about pollution. How come the loudmouth environmentalists don't ever talk about the pollution coming out of the coal-generated factories in China? In 2009, China emitted 50% more greenhouse gases than the United States, even though its economy is only one-third as large. Why doesn't Obama take Mr. Hu, if that's his name, Jintao, Mr. Jintao, why doesn't he tell Mr. Jintao to rein in some of the pollution, right? So how are we going to save our economy? I have my ways of doing it. We could do it. I've given you some great ideas just now on the Savage Nation, but who's listening to me? Who's listening to me, really? You know the geniuses of the New York Times don't listen to Michael Savage. They know better. They know, for example, that right-wingers caused the murders in Arizona, even though it turns out the guy who shot the poor innocent people in Arizona was apolitical and hated Nixon and used marijuana and salvia. But, you know, they don't listen to me. You listen to me. So I don't really know where this ends up, but I'm not so sure it ends up with us slaves of China. I think that the exaggerated fear and envy that is being generated about China is something that we should be more worried about in a way than them taking us over. They repress religion, yes. They murder protesters for every few years. They clean out the rising protest groups. They kill them. But the fact of the matter is, there's press censorship. They jail dissidents. There's no elections, by the way. Did you know that? New York Times didn't report that. No elections in China. Well, how it ends, I don't really know. Japan, remember, in the 80s. I remember very, very, very well what was going on. There were a whole slew of movies, for example, about how Japan would eat us alive. And then there was the transfer of technology to I remember there was Reagan was in power, and I was very concerned about the transfer of jet technology to Japan. I think it was the FSX technology went to Japan under Reagan. It was very worrisome. And what happened with Japan soon thereafter? Lost decade. It's actually been a lost 2 decades, frankly. The question this time is when China finally hits a stone wall, or shall I say the Great Wall of China is finally met by China itself, what will happen then? Will they go to war, or will they turn in again? I don't really know. I really don't know, truthfully. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Would you buy a car made in China? Do you actually believe a car made in China is going to be as good as a car made in America or Detroit or Tennessee or North Carolina? I don't believe so. They're not inventing cars in China. They're not advancing the technology of cars in China. All they're doing is copying us. All they're doing is copying our assembly lines, stealing our technology. I'm not so sure China's going to advance, you know, beyond us. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. I don't even want to talk about it. Wiki, big name. Fraud made easier. I'm up to page 29 now of the New York Post. Should I talk about my beard? Why I love my strict Chinese mom. This is a good article. Remember I read about why Chinese moms are superior on the show the other day? Well, now her daughter is in the paper. She's airbrushed. 18-year-old Sophia Chua Rubenfeld. Wow, what a brain in that head. What a combination. 18-year-old Sophia Chua Rubenfeld. So she's got a Chinese mom and a Jewish father. These children could take over the world. Is that a stereotype? I mean, this is amazing to me. Actually, I know a guy who's Jewish who married a Chinese woman, and they have a child. The child's beautiful. So I said to him, I said, Dave, it's very unusual for Jewish guys to marry Chinese women. He says, well, you know, I'm a guy who likes the hedge of my bed. He said that to me. I swear to God. He said it. It was very funny. The teenager at the center of New York City's hottest controversy speaks out in defense of her mother. So this girl says, big deal. My mother was tough, so what? Look at me. Now Chua's eldest daughter, Sophia Chua Rubenfeld, tells her side of the story already. Tiger mom. They're calling the mother already a tiger mom. I'm not interested already. I like the article, but the tiger mom already I could do without. Now it's turning it into a book promotion. Sophia Left and Lula Wright were raised by parents Jeff and Amy in a strict household, blah, blah, blah. All right, big deal. Good luck to them all. I hope they do very well. I hope she sells a million books. It makes no difference to me. But you think a mother like that's so easy to live with, you're wrong. You know, would you rather have a mother that was that tough or a hysteric, who didn't know what was going on at all, that fainted every time you came home with a little blood on your head because you got hit in the head with a stickball bat or something? You know, that's also tough, by the way. You think, what's tougher, a hysteric or a mother that makes you study hard? I mean, you know, what is it, easy being a person to begin with? Everyone has a tough mother one way or the other. No matter who the mother is, it's the toughest role in the world. It's different for the mothers and the fathers. I've come to understand that. We're nothing, the men, compared to the mothers. Look, I got the pillow today. It says anyone could be a father, but not everyone could be a dad. Okay. It's true, but being a mother's harder because they give birth. We don't know anything about that. Man, what do men know about giving birth? We can't even take pain. Women know how to bear pain. That's how they can live with men. And that's how they can put up with children today altogether. So I don't know even what it's a strict mom. Oh, because you have a strict mom, but she's intelligent and she's leading you somewhere. What if you have a hysteric every 2 minutes going into like a maniacal fit over something that happened? Like from the time I was 5 years old, I'd get into fights or get hit in the head with things in the Bronx with ashes they would throw down from Longfellow Avenue. You always had street fights. No guns, no knives. We used ashes. In those days, there was pollution. And we used a byproduct of pollution in the Bronx. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's such a different era. It's very funny. I think it would eventually led me to the tropics and my interest in volcanoes and botany was the ash from the incinerators in the Bronx tenements. You talked about free association. That's a good one. No, let me explain to you. I lived on a street. It was called Longfellow Avenue. So the Bronx. So there was a street above us on a hill called Bryant Avenue. And there was a lot next to us, an empty lot. Nothing was built in it, but like trees and God knows what. So the guys on my block would fight the guys. We're talking 5 years old. The guys on the block above us, and we'd run out with ash can covers, and they would rain down upon us like it was something out of like a Roman battlefield. Ashes that they took out of the incinerators. You know when you burn down garbage, it becomes hard as like lava rock? That was called ash. Okay? They belt pollution all over the Bronx, and left at the bottom of the incinerator was ash. It was like volcanic stone. So the little gangsters, we'd all grab stones out of our basements of the tenement, and they would grab theirs. And to protect yourself as we try to run up the hill and conquer them and throw them down the hill, it was like Animal Farm, no, like Lord of the Flies. They would throw ashes down at us, and if you held up the shield in the right way, you could have, but you'd hear the booming and the banging and the pinging. I swear to God, it was like some Roman war. So I was never really great at it, but I went along with the game. The guy I really worshipped was great at this. He always got to the top of the hill and threw the leader down the hill. I always ran along the side of him with my little shield, and inevitably I'd get hit in the head with an ash. I always thought it was someone fragging me from behind, but I can't prove it. I think it was a kid getting hit in the back of the head when you're running up a hill. It's statistically, it's actually geometrically impossible. If you're rushing up a hill, now that I think about it, you got an ash can cover, and ash is raining down. How could you get hit in the back of the head? So I was fragged by some kid. I knew that son of a gun did it. Now I figured it out. It took me a half a century to figure this out. So I get hit in the head and I bleed, all right? I didn't panic. You have to go home, though. That's the rule is when you get hit in the head as a kid and you're bleeding, you got to go home, right? You're off the battlefield. It was like the equivalent of the red badge of courage. I go home bleeding from the back of the head. It was a flesh wound. That's all it was. I had a Russian aunt. You'd come in. She was as clinical as like a surgeon in a trauma ward. She'd look at you through the glasses, analyze, get out the peroxide, get out the cotton, touch your head, clean it up, put a Band-Aid, and push you back out to go fight another day. I dreaded coming home to my own house. God rest her soul, Mom. I'm not trying to mock you. My mother, if I came in the door with any blood on me, she'd throw herself on the floor screaming, "I'm the one bleeding! I'm the one coming in the door bleeding!" And she throws herself on the floor hysterical. "Oh, my God, what happened?" So I would dread coming home with this. I'd go to the aunt. The aunt would clean the head up. So I got off on a sidetrack here. Why I love my strict Chinese mom, I don't quite know. Oh, I was saying, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a tough mother who was drilling you to be successful every day? No play dates, being no school plays, no TV. You're going to be number one. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have a hysteric who threw themselves on the floor if you came home with a little blood on the back of your head? Hey, whatever happened to that schmuck that they found? You remember, the newspapers are so bad. Remember the homeless guy about 2 weeks ago? He had a good voice. They already made him into a star. He was already better than Walter Cronkite, and he should win the Annenberg Award in double journalism. Remember the guy? The miracle voice of YouTube. They found some stumble bum with a voice. They gussied him up. They put a tie on him. Where is he now? He's gone already? You know what you must have made from that affair? Nothing. With a publicity like that? Here I've written 29 books. I have a PhD. I've saved forests. I'm a famous broadcaster. I can't get an inch of ink in the New York Post. Who needs them? It just shows you what you really need. You look at this publicity that these newspapers give. It doesn't add up to anything. You know that people aren't really that stupid. If you got something to offer, they'll find you. If you got nothing to offer, they're going to avoid you. That's all. So the newspapers don't have the power they think they do. I'll be right back. I just got an email from a fellow talk show host. Only shave the beard if you're going to post pictures on your site so we can see what you look like without it. That's an interesting shtick. Day one, beard. Day two, no beard. And then a poll. Do you like me with the beard or without the beard? I mean, you want to get self-indulgent and narcissistic. Why don't I be like everyone else on the earth? What do I care? What do I care? What do I talk about China? What can I do about China? I've written one book after another with no impact whatsoever. We vote people in, and they do exactly the opposite of what we wanted to do. Anyway, take a look at Scott Brown from Massachusetts. I mean, I was on to him. I wasn't fooled by the guy. 2 days later, I told you what he would do. Now he comes out and mocks the whole concept of Republican altogether. He says, "Why are you paying so much attention to the little R at the end of my name?" You hear? You hear this? So then there's a new article, "Millions Taking Statins Needlessly." No kidding. How many times have I told you I don't take them? It's an article out of thetelegraph.uk. Millions taking statins or statins needlessly. I tried them. I can't use them. Fish oils, yes, I use fish oils. But I get the fish oil burping. I hate it. So I stopped taking them, too. I couldn't stand it. But there is a product I got where you don't get the burp. It's a little lower dose. It's a 500 milligram of the fish oil. Horrible, disgusting taste of those fish oils. Disgusting. It's another hula hoop. You know, today it's this, that. Every other day they come up with another one. Look, I have a degree in the field, a real degree, as opposed to the fakers. I take mega doses of vitamin C, vitamin E, B vitamins, multivitamins, and other things every day. I eat too much garlic, I'll admit it. I drink too much alcohol after a show, maybe 2-3 ounces a day. I've slowed down from my average of 5 when I was 10. 10-15 years ago, I drank about 5 ounces after a show. Because I used to joke on the radio, those of you who have been listening for years, I said the American Medical Association defines moderate alcohol drinking as 2 ounces of alcohol per day, while the British Medical Association defines moderate drinking at 5 ounces a day. I said, in that sense, I think I'll be British. And I would usually drink about five after a show. I don't mean at once. Over the course of an evening. Let's say starting when I got off the air through the night. But as I got older, I don't like the hangovers. They're horrible. It's not worth it. You know, you get a little buzz and then what? The next day you feel like you don't even want to live. Eh, a couple of drinks, that's about it. But I take mega doses, and I do like the fish oils a lot in terms of my blood chemistry. It changed my triglyceride levels, but I do not like the burping. So I found a new product. Now, I'm not promoting it. It says it eliminates fish oil burp. I like that. I didn't even know I suffered a syndrome. Maybe I can get a government grant that I suffer fish oil burp. Maybe Obama has something for me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's something in the Obamacare, especially for men over the age of 40 who have fish oil burp, and I can qualify for some kind of a foundation grant where the government will help me out to eliminate the burping. Maybe they can give me another medication. Yeah, crazy. They're all nuts. Well, that's crazy. So the beard is a bigger story than China. It's crazy. The show started with me talking about China and tariffs and Hung Lo. The whole thing started with that. One Hung Lo, Hung Tao, Hung Ku, what we should do, tariffs, cars. They're eating us for breakfast. They're making a mockery of us, jets. And you weren't interested. The minute I started talking about whether I should shave my beard, the audience was suddenly interested. And then, of course, when I told you the story about the ash cans and the ash can covers, and would you rather have a strict mother or a neurotic mother? I mean, then you were listening already. You know, then already I got your attention. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I had a guy come over to the house today. He's an artisan of some kind. He's an older man, maybe in his 70s, with his wife. And he fabricates things out of metal. Very nice man. I'd never met him. I wanted him to make something like a pelican. So we were talking and we were talking. He says, you know, Michael, he said, he didn't know who I was or anything. He said, you know, I don't even use a computer. I said, what? Nah, he said, I don't even want to use a computer. I said, why? He says, because if I did, he said, I'd watch porn all day long. His wife started to laugh. He said, no, I don't want a computer in my house. He said, if I did, I'd be addicted. He's an artist, this guy, with metal. But he says if he has a computer near him, he'd get addicted to internet porn. I said, welcome to the club. You wouldn't be the only one. I said, most of America's addicted to pornography. Take a look at it. That's why it should be outlawed, internet porn. You take it, like, how did it help? It destroyed the country, pornography everywhere. Years ago, you used to go to a Marriott hotel. Mormon, they had a Bible. Today, the same garbage. The pornography, the Gideons are dead, long live the porn. You know what I'm saying? There's no Gideon Bibles anymore. I used to go to a hotel, there was a Gideon Bible. All right, I didn't read it, but I felt good that it was in the drawer. Or if I went to a hotel in Hawaii, there was a Buddhist Bible. Never read it, but I enjoyed knowing it was there. It made me feel better that if a hurricane hit the shore, somehow I'd be saved by Buddha himself. Now you can't even find a Buddhist tract in a hotel in Hawaii, nor a Gideon Bible. They're all gone. You open a drawer looking for the Bible, it tells you which pornography channel to select for $39.95, and it doesn't even show up on your bill, apparently, so your company doesn't find out. It doesn't even say watch the X-rated movie. It's like ordered potato chips in room, $12.92. Oh, they have it all worked out. So it doesn't matter who owns the chain anymore. Pornography's a profit center. Drugs are a profit center. Anti-American trade practices are a profit center. Therefore, the profit motive, where does it lead me? What, I should become a communist now? Why they're doing better than we are? I don't know. Let's talk about that tomorrow. All right, another big hour on the Savage Nation. I'm pulling your beard. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
the president or the chief dictator or the dictator-in-chief of China is in town and Obama's kowtowing to him. Of course, there's a state dinner. And we're asking again, is President Hu Jintao worthy of this respect? Certainly, we certainly don't want to go to war with China, but they've gone to war with us economically at first, and militarily, obviously, is second. You ask anybody at the higher end of the military structure, they'll tell you exactly the same thing. And yet, this you're not going to believe, that NASA's chief, James Hansen, is actually lauding China and saying it's the U.S. democracy that has prevented us from fighting global warming and that only China could save the world by their dictatorial decrees. This is what we have now in the United States of America under Obama the communist. You think I'm making it up, don't you? Obama's new executive order, more regulations from his czars. He says the goal is to strike the right balance and eliminate regulation by making more regulation. Well, the Savage Manifesto for Saving America is on to this charlatan. I believe that we're being led down the road of disaster. I mean, China's boss yesterday called the dollar a relic of the past. I guess in that he agrees with Soros. This is why we're at war with the jihadists, who have now put out edicts saying that theft, embezzlement, and seizing of property from Americans is okay, according to the Quran, to fund the war against the infidels. You won't read that in the New York Times, will you? Well, read it on michaelsavage.com. It's from Fox News. Speaking of the Islamist march across the globe, a new European Union calendar has been published that omits Christian holidays like Christmas and Easter, while noting significant Jewish and Muslim celebrations. Isn't diversity grand? Islamists blow up a bus killing 19. Mystery still surrounds the death of the prominent defense expert. We'll talk about that again. And there are many other stories on michaelsavage.com. I really recommend you go on my site every day and see them because I can't cover every story in the detail that I'd like to. That's why I run the website, to help you find the stories that I think are worthy of your attention. Here's one. Remember Bill Frist? Do you remember Bill Frist, the former Republican Senate Majority Leader under Bush? Remember I called him a check pants Republican, a rhino? Well, he came out today with a message for Republicans who are trying to repeal Obama's Socialized Health Care Reform Act. He said, don't do it. Bill Frist says, the bill is not perfect and not the bill that I would have drafted, but it's the law of the land. And he said the Republicans should not try to repeal it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Speaking of check pants Republicans, old John McCain did it again. He's called Obama a patriot and is rejecting critics who say that Obama is unworthy to lead. That's right. He made his comments in an article he wrote for the Washington Post opinion page, posted on Saturday, in which he praised Obama for giving a terrific speech in Tucson at a tribute for victims of the shooting rampage. And he said that Obama had comforted and inspired the nation. And he performed an important service by encouraging every American who participates in our public debates, blah, 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 blah. So he said that Obama is a great patriot, and that we should have no harsh political attacks against him because it is not appropriate. There's old John McCain, still with us, still doing damage. Is John P. Wheeler III the American Dr. David Kelly? I'll bet you don't even know who Wheeler is. Another article, avoid GOP timidity in 2011. No kidding. No kidding. Here are the top 10 Obama administration investigation targets. 1, Obamacare. 2, the stimulus. We want to know where the money went. Freddie and Fannie, WikiLeaks, climate science, Acorn, oil spill response, the Justice Department, the czars, Obama's presidential eligibility. Would you believe this? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. 1-800-449-8255. It's the Savage Nation. And don't forget this at all. The Jets versus the Steelers has occupied more of the American mind than China versus the U.S. That's the important thing to remember, is that the Jets versus the Steelers is what's on the mind of most Americans. That's important. If that's not enough for you, then open up your local paper and you'll see exactly what we're talking about on the Savage Nation. Jets versus Steelers, not China versus the U.S. And you wonder why America's in trouble, do you? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. We'll be talking about these and other topics on the Savage Nation today. And, of course, the big story to stay focused on is the state visit by Chinese President Hu Jintao and what we're supposed to do about it. Already, Obama has bowed down to the president. Okay, already he has kowtowed to the leader of China. If you were a strong leader, let's say Ronald Reagan, of course you would welcome the president of China, of the dictatorship of the communist nation of China, where there is no democracy. But wouldn't you say something about human rights? And is China our friend or our foe? And what do we do about it? Is there anything we can do about it, or is it all over? Do you think it's over? I'm asking you. I mean, these are the questions that need to be discussed in the Savage Nation. Also on the Savage Nation, we're going to play some of the speech by Barack Obama meeting the Chinese President Hu Jintao from 2009. You'll hear some of that. And we have old speeches from Robert Gates at the Great Wall of China on nuclear strategy with China, and saying it was a very productive visit, even though he was blindsided by a new stealth fighter that China has invented. To his surprise, of course. Didn't know that. And by the way, as a final note, yes, according to the Calgary Herald, yes, Islam condones wife beating. That's according to a Muslim moderate writer who said the Quran says that men are in charge of women because Allah has made one of them men to excel the other women. Thus, man's superiority over women. Well, read the whole gibberish, something you won't read in your local paper. Not allowed here in America.
Savage.
I live in creepy San Francisco, depressing, creepy, hippie San Francisco, and basically I'm a reclusive personality because I have chosen to be withdrawn and reclusive. But I grew up in a different world. And now that I'm on the East Coast, I come here once in a while to South Florida. I'm leading a life that is almost a continuation of a life I left behind many decades ago, which is highly social, highly outgoing, and such. And it's an interesting duality in essence. I got to tell you something. One of the reasons I choose to be isolated in San Francisco. And you say, well, how can you live there? You're not like them. No, I'm not like Nancy Pelosi or Barbara Boxer. I don't know anybody there except one or two people that I talk to. Two, three, four guys I count as guys I know. I have no representation in Congress. You're telling me there's a congressperson in Northern California? No. You're telling me Boxer or Feinstein represents American values? No. So in South Florida, I have a totally different life. I have a congressman named Alan West, he's a hero of mine. A patriotic American war hero who knows exactly what's going on, who knows the black experience inside and out. I said, how did you win in Jewish districts? And we talked about it. And he said he went to several different campaign rallies along the way. He was way, way behind. The left wing had smeared him. The local rat paper smeared him. The vermin he was running against, this rat bum who shouldn't be a dog catcher in Siberia, said things about him. He should be ashamed of himself, but a rat like that never has any shame. Anyway, he overcame it all and he wins. He says to me, well, he said, I got to tell you something. As a veteran of the military, he said, I got a lot of respect in the black community. And he said, a lot of them came up to me and they said, Colonel, you know, this was along the way. They said, Colonel, I don't like your social politics, but I like you as a person. I'm going to vote for you because they like the man. See, now that's what I'm talking about is the character. His character shone through and it overrode party affiliation, and I think that's why Alan West won. I personally think he could go all the way, this guy. I mean, if Obama could be president, and Obama is such an America hater, God, maybe there's a chance that an African-American man who loves America could one day be president. You never know. You know what I'm saying? You never know. Maybe, just... So anyway, we talk about all the different subtleties of that. But the night before I'd gone to the Mar-a-Lago that Trump owns, and it's really an amazing, it's like the Palace of Versailles. I've never seen such an attention to detail. I got to talk about the food for a minute, because I am a food person. Do you know that the food on the East Coast doesn't compare to the food on the West Coast? It's the magnitudes of betterness. I love people in San Francisco think they're foodies and they know food. They don't know food. They do not know food. It's not that it's different. The people are not as picky on the West Coast in San Francisco. L.A., yes. Yes, the L.A. people are very picky because most of them are from the East Coast of New York, and they're very demanding, and they'll send something back if it's no good. The reason the food in the Bay Area is so mediocre, by and large, is because the people are sheeple. The sheeple go in a restaurant, and they're ashamed to send anything back, even if they knew the difference, which I don't think they do. Whatever they give them, it's wonderful. The East Coast, the food's no good. They send it back. What is it you give me this garbage for? You know what I mean? Look at the shrimp. It's still moving around or whatever. So I got to tell you, the standards are higher in food quality as far as I'm concerned. So I'm having a drink, you know, the suit, the tie, which is unusual for me. And it's the appetizer drink, open bar, blah, 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 waiting for the people to come in. And I've been to all sorts of events in my life. I have never in my life been in a smorgasbord, so to speak, if you want to call it that. You have the ahi station, and you're expected, right? They had a paella station. Now, I happen to love paella. And I went over there. I said, all right, I cooked it myself. I said to the young lady behind the counter. She said, well, how is it? I said, you know what? It's very good. I said, everybody makes it differently. I said, well, how's the chef make it? She said, turn around. He's right there. He came over. I said, how do you make your paella? I have one question for you. Do you use real saffron? He said, yes, we used about, like 2 pounds of it tonight for this crowd. I said, well, okay, that's a good start because it tastes like it. As you know, saffron is super expensive. It's the pistol of a particular plant. And I'm not talking about guns. That might be a banned word in the new America. But he said, yes, real saffron. And I said, here's the real question. Do you cook your paella with the pan covered, or do you leave it open? Because a lot of the recipes say leave it open. He said, no, I cover it, or else the rice won't cook. I said, so do I. So I confirmed that I know what I'm doing. Anyway, it's a long way of getting back to the topic at hand. That night they had a show, and I'm not a show guy because it reminded me, when you say dinner and a show, I can't sit that long. I'm a radio talk show host. I do a 3-hour show. Believe me, it's exhausting. So the idea of going to an event where it's 2-hour appetizer and 2-hour dinner is almost a dead man. So when the girl came out, a 10-year-old girl, I figured, it'll be just some, you know, kid who can sing and I'll clap and I'll go home. Well, she stirred me, as I say to you, this child star, and I said, God, I remember what it was like to be around. Where are the prodigies, I ask myself, like this child? Where are they? Where did they go? And the answer, of course, is built in the question. You talk about incompetence, the opposite of the prodigy. You may assume that Obama's a prodigy. I think he's the dumbest president in American history, and I'll tell you why. Any man who would cater to China at a time when China's on the rise like this is a dumb man. Any man who, unless you say he's a genius pushing the Marxist agenda, then I'd say he's a genius. But any man who would run his own country off the rails like this, kowtowing to foreign dictators who have to read a litany to you, this is not a smart man. This is not a smart president. Apparently, he's been outmaneuvered by every leader on earth, unless that is his agenda. So you have to assume either he's stupid or he's not a patriot. One or the other, it's not too good for America. And that's of prodigy, genius, this and that, because we never talk about it in the country at all. It's like almost like, oh, you can't say that because they're... He's not, because he's too smart. The other side, you know, a society that emphasizes the loser, the bum, the drug addict, the rehab, pays almost no attention or spends almost no money on the genius or the prodigy, and that's why we have such a wreckage in our school system. What percent of your local school budget do you think goes for English as a second language? 20%? Maybe more in California or in Texas or Florida or in New York or in Illinois. English as a second language? English is the first language, my friend. And if you're an immigrant, learn English or you're never going to make it in this country. That's the way I was raised. That's the way you should be raised. And that's what we need in our schools. End ELS across America. And right away, you could save the schools with one little move like that. Do you think there's a politician with the guts to do it? They're afraid of losing the Hispanic vote. I love how the Republicans now are catering to the Hispanic vote. They're telling us we've got to legalize illegals so we don't alienate the Hispanic vote. And I said, wait a minute, what about the Caucasian vote? Where'd that go? You already took that for granted, you idiots, you? Again, the Republicans are committing suicide again. Again, I can tell you right now, you want me to project ahead with my genius? Obama's the next president. Unless there's a miracle, unless there's a miracle breakout candidate, you may as well count Obama in for another 4 years after this. You say, no, it can't happen. Not only will it happen, but it's supposed to happen because that's the way the structure is set up. You don't understand any of this yet. You don't understand it was 8 years of Clinton, a Democrat, then 8 years of Bush, then the next president is a Democrat for 8 years. They just swing back and forth. Dummy, don't you see the picture? So I'm talking to you level-headed now. We are in real trouble because we have Chamberlain in the White House, and we have a guy from China coming over who's the president of China, the chairman of the Communist Party as well. Of course, we're not supposed to know any of that. It's a dictatorship, a benign dictatorship to a certain extent, but not quite benign if you're a Christian or a dissenter. It's really a very unbenign nation. We see the high rises and we realize, oh, they're a real powerhouse. But God forbid someone should protest the fascist dictatorship that is China. You're going to see how the media deals with them, and you'll see that we're living in the Soviet Union. You mark my words. You'll see if there's any protester at all allowed outside the White House. You wait and see what the left-wing geniuses in the media do to them and try how they try to present them.
Savage.
So today I'm reading a boating magazine in the toilet. I get the boating magazines for the toilet. It's a good place to peruse such heavy reading material. I like to look at the water there, the boats, the mega yachts that I can't afford, you know. But one article caught my eye: the Russian petro billionaires and the kind of boats that they're building. And the world's largest private yacht to be named Eclipse is being built by a man who's in the home of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin, which is now the hottest mega yacht market in the world, Russia, where people are still starving, where people are living like serfs. There is a class of billionaire crooks who stole the oil and commodities out of the ground. They're living like czars, and they're outflanking even the Arabs in terms of super yacht purchases. So the biggest one will be built by a guy in Russia. It'll be a 557-foot mega yacht. 557 feet, 170 meters, to be built by Blohm & Voss, a subsidiary of Germany's ThyssenKrupp Marine Systems. And that will cast a shadow over the current Lord of the Seas, the 525-foot Dubai, owned by Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, ruler of Dubai. Ha, ha, ha. Dubai. Wonder where they get all their money from in Dubai. So the Russians are now out spending the others. Russia's eighth richest man, Suleiman Kerimkov, had it all, including the 295-foot Lursen boat, ICE, when he crashed his Ferrari in Nice, and now he's in a burn ward. Now, how do they make all of this money? How do they make so much money that they can buy two and three yachts? Some of these guys own three of them. One of them gave away a yacht of about 200 feet to a friend. So who are these oligarchs, these modern czars of Russia? They're young, in their 30s or 40s. They're billionaires overnight. And as much of Russia is floundering in a post-communist collapse, a handful of high-powered crooks with good political connections succeeded in gaining control of the country's vast state-owned industries and natural resources. They literally bought them. And how did they buy them? They didn't have any money. Many of them were college professors. But they were well-connected with the government. Follow me here because it's very similar to America. They were connected to the politicians, the corrupt politicians. And they get control of the vast state-owned industries and natural resources. How? Well, this took the form of loans for shares, deals and auctions, which some regard as the greatest scandal of the Boris Yeltsin era. And when Vladimir Putin, the old KGB chief, took over from Yeltsin, Putin was expected to undo the oligarchs' wealth. But what he said to them was, if you stay out of politics, I will not touch you. And so one of these guys bought a company called Sibneft, a company sitting on 30% of Russia's oil. You hear this? One man could buy a company called Sibneft. This was remember, Russia was a socialist state. So the oil, the gas, the metals, the gold, the silver was all owned by the government. So now during privatization of the Yeltsin, these crooks come along, and through corrupt politicians and payoffs, they get to buy all of these commodities, these natural resources. So this guy buys for $200 million 30% of Russia's oil, not of his own money, but he borrows the money because of the value of the oil in the ground. So he borrows the money, he buys it. And then in 2005, Gazprom, Russia's state-owned gas company, buys out this 30% of the oil for $13 billion for Sibneft. So the guy borrows $200 million, and he makes $13 billion. You hear this? Then he buys $300 million worth for the $300 million boat, the Eclipse, he's having built. And he also owns the Chelsea England Football Club. He owns a Boeing 767 airplane, a townhouse in Belgravia, central London, a 440-acre estate in Sussex, and a villa in the south of France. He is also the governor of Chukotka and is reportedly trying to buy Silvio Berlusconi's former villa in Sardinia. I read in the article, none of the above information was made available by the secretive mogul. It says he doesn't comment on his personal property. Ranked by Forbes as the world's 16th richest man, worth $18.7 billion, this guy will add Eclipse to a private fleet that already includes three other mega yachts, 377-foot Polaris, 282-foot S. Castilla, and 160-foot Susurro. Once he had four mega yachts, but he gave away the fourth yacht, 370-foot Le Grand Bleu, complete with aquarium, cinema, and helicopter, to a business associate. Now, why am I telling you this story? Because in all nations, there arises a class of pirates. With unlimited greed, they have no nation. They're transnational pirates, in my humble opinion. Seattle, Washington. Ryan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to talk about the dogs. That's more interesting than anything else that we're covering.
Yeah, it is. Dogs are interesting. Well, I'm a dog person.
You said that the dogs are allowed anywhere other than where food is served. And I just wanted to let you know, up here in Washington, I'm not sure whether it's a state law or federal law, but you are not allowed to ask a customer whether their dog is for service or not. They can simply say, I need this dog with me. And they
In other words, if you ask them if they're a legitimate service dog, you may make one of the fake psychos nervous, and you could affect their condition, and they could sue you, right?
Exactly.
That's in Washington State, that's where they do animals, right? That's where they did the horses.
Hey, exactly. And I'm serving there one Friday night, and I said,
What if you're working in a restaurant and a man comes in with a horse in Seattle? Can you come to any conclusion with that? What if he says, this is my service animal?
Well, I don't think we're far off the way things are going.
Yeah, you have a great governor, a terrific governor in the state of Washington. Great, great mayor in the state of Seattle, in the city of Seattle. Terrific place. So what, you're a waiter up there? What happened?
Hey, the first weekend that happened, I'm wondering, what in the world is going on? A dog's in here. You know, I'm allergic to cats. Somebody could be allergic to dogs.
Oh, my God. A cat in a restaurant, I never go back. I'm allergic to cats. I hate them.
Next weekend, I swear.
I hate cats. My throat closes up.
The customer saw that dog in there. The next weekend, three dogs are in there at the same time. And I'm sitting here wondering if
now, what happens if a dog takes a dump under a table? Tell me, you have to clean it up?
Hey, we got to clean up the puke in the bathroom, right?
Oh, my God. Do they make waiters clean up the bathrooms?
Yep.
Oh, no. Ryan, I think that's a violation of your rights as an employee. I don't believe a waiter should have to clean up a vomit in a bathroom.
We'll put up with it till we move on to something better, right?
Yeah, let's get off this topic. This is getting crazy. But, no, I see where you're coming from. But in Seattle, if a man comes in with a horse, you don't know what they're doing together. He could say it's a service animal.
Well, and
what if he says it's his partner?
You know, I don't know that the law doesn't cover that. We might not be able to.
Oh, yeah. Well, the law, you know, Samuel Johnson, the great 18th century English essayist, said the law is an ass. He pretty much knew what the law was. You know who writes the law, don't you? You know who writes the law. That it brings up a very good point. No, this dog in restaurant thing is out of control. Only I should be able to bring my dog to a restaurant because he's self-controlled. He does not pee in a restaurant. He doesn't even bark. But I could see why it's a problem. Thanks for the call.
There are other topics out there. 1-800-449-8255. I, Michael Savage, will be right back.
Savage.
I almost feel like now moving away completely from the politics of the day and almost going into the bars I drank in. The people I ran into, how I feel a little hungover. I always do very good shows when I have a slight hangover. Not a very severe hangover, but a mild hangover is very, very good for radio, I find. And I've always found it to be very good for radio. I don't know what it is. Let's see, what did I do? So as the curtain of night descended upon the Savage Nation's host, yours truly, Michael Savage, I wandered up to the district known as North Beach in San Francisco, the more or less still Italian district of the city. Actually, I didn't go directly there. I walked up California. I have a certain walk I like, which I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to be, let us say, accosted on the way. But I walked through Chinatown on the way to North Beach because I love Chinatown. The reason I love to walk down Grant Avenue at night is because it gives me hope to see the small merchants closing their stores at night, raising their gates, securing their wares. It reminds me of my father's little store down in New York on Ludlow Street, how they would close the gates at night and lock it up and look with a love at the merchandise that fed their family. Now, you don't see much of this anymore in America. Most of us are so removed from merchandise and being a shopkeeper. But in essence, the small businessman, the small businesswoman, is the core of the capitalist system and always has been and probably always will be, despite the dominance of the great corporations. The small businessman is the key to the survival of a capitalist nation. Anyway, to make a long story short, I also like to see the Chinese people. I like hearing, as I walk down the avenue, the young men, the vigorous young men practicing martial arts in the upstairs studios, either through the drums. The drums are also part of the martial arts. I hear them practicing taekwondo in some of the studios. I mean, I hear everything. I'm like Vincent the Blind Man, if you want to know the truth, because as I walk, although my eyes are open, so are my ears, and I have very sharp ears, and I listen to the sounds of the street. I don't have to know one word of Mandarin to understand what's going on. And I say to myself, you know, this gives me hope. And the reason it gives me hope is because I know that the Islamo-fascists will never conquer the Chinese, not in China nor in America. I said, are you kidding me? You're telling me these Tongs are going to let the Islamo-fascists dominate their neighborhood? Never in a million years. They disappear without you even knowing what happened. And there are so many other ethnic enclaves in this country that will never fall under the sway of the sword. That's all I can tell you. They have faced the conqueror in the past, and they have driven the conqueror out. Of course, there are, if you want to get into the history of China and its conquest, and it was conquered by the Muslims at a certain point, but I won't go into that because you don't know that half of China is Muslim and a good half of China was Muslim as a result of conquest. But in the United States of America, I can tell you right now, they don't even know this is going on. These people live in their own world, and it's kind of nice to step into a world that is separated from my world. So I walked through the Chinatown, as I said, smelling the garbage in the street, and walked across Broadway, where you step across Broadway, now you're suddenly stepping into the garlic world, the world of garlic and jazz, so to speak, and you're into the Italian district. And for some reason, I went to a place that I haven't been for years. I used to hang out there a lot. It's an Irish bar, and I looked for my friend because I hadn't seen him in years. I stopped hanging out up there a number of years ago, and I went into O'Reilly's Tavern, and there was Miles, an old friend of mine running an Irish tavern. And we talked. I said, how's your son? He's 10 years old. Now, I haven't seen him in 5 years or more. I remember when he was a little boy in the bar. And I said, you know, I still remember what do they call those, giant dogs? Help me out here. I forget. And you know those big dogs, whatever they're called, the Irish something or other. No, not an Irish setter. They're gigantic. They're hounds. They're giant. He had a dog, Fionn. They only live to 6. I love this dog. I watched him grow up in the bar. This dog was so big that he, like a foot, was as bigger than my dog Teddy's entire body. And one of the most beautiful dogs in the world. But he died at six. I said, you know, Miles, I remember your first dog, Fee. And he says, oh, I had a second. And he died too. He says, now I have a third, just a wee puppy. He still got the Irish whatever. I'm sorry I don't remember the name of the dog. I'm feeling kind of silly right now. I can't. But, you know, it was nice going in there. But on the way in, two guys offered to buy me a drink, and I never accept a drink from a stranger. I'm just that kind of girl. So I didn't accept the drink from the strangers, but we got to talk. It turns out that they're sheriff's deputies from another county in California who just happened to hear my voice and say, I can't believe our luck, and we talked. Whatever topic is on your mind will be fair game. Consumer culture. I was never into that. I try to buy something this week. I don't know what's wrong with me. I have trouble buying things. I wear the same clothing for years. I'm comfortable in it. I know it doesn't look as good. So I went out. I forced myself to buy four pair of pants the other day. And I came home. I looked at them. And I proceeded to hang them up and put them in the back of the closet. I'm saving them for an important day. I don't know what that day may be, but I'm saving them. Then I buy a new pair of sneakers. That took an hour. I almost died till he found the right size. This size, take that size, and the width, and D, and E, a double. I didn't have the old ones. Finally, I bought a pair. I said, oh, fine. Just give them to me, please. You're very nice. Put them in a bag. Then I got a yen to buy a pair of shoes. Like an idiot, I bought something that looked good. They looked like an elf shoe. I went back to like the 60s. There was like an elf shoe. Like, I knew better. Oh, that looks good. I'll wear them around the house. I was crippled from them. I put them on for 5 minutes. I couldn't walk. So I had to return them. I had to have them returned today. And it was a strange thing. Did I tell you what the dog did while the guy was trying to shoe on my foot? The first time I put my foot down on that little stand they have for the shoe, Teddy was with me. He didn't do anything. Then the next time the guy said, try the other foot on it, I put the other foot down. Teddy jumped between the foot and the guy's hands. So I try to think, what in the world does a dog perceive? What was he perceiving? So I thought maybe, trying to project my Darwinian mind to the dog, he probably thought the guy was taking my foot by putting it into a with an instrument. What does he know? He's a stranger with a thing in his hand, taking his master's foot into an object called a shoe, and then like sealing it up with a lace. So he figured that was no good. It was dangerous. Then there was a miserable woman there with two dogs that gives dog owners a bad name in department stores. You know, it's a privilege to let you bring a dog in a department store, and I'm really glad they do. Because guys like me are good owners. This piece of garbage, she was from New York, living in Marin. I knew the type. I saw right away where she was. So she has two rat dogs with her, one like a Maltese yapper. My dog doesn't bark. They start barking at my dog. No, here's what starts. I'm getting my shoes on, and Teddy's minding his business. And she looks over from like 25 yards away. I don't know where. They have eagle eyes, these shopaholics. And she looks over and she says something like out loud, like she knows me. What kind of dog is that? So I'm like, what kind of dog is that? So I said, take a guess. She wants to play Brooklyn with me. I can answer in Brooklyn. What kind of dog is that? Like she's familiar already. She said, why don't you take a guess? So she says, a poodle? So I say nothing. All right, so she don't say anything, but I see she's seething already that no one answered, that I didn't answer her. A few minutes later, she walks by and right away, the dogs start barking, her dogs. You know what she has the nerve to say out loud? Oh, honey, you don't like that dog, do you? Meaning her dog didn't like my dog. Now, I could have gotten mad, but I control myself. And I say, this is why I don't buy anything. It's why I don't go out of the house. It's why I become a recluse and do takeout. I can't take it. People are mean everywhere, wherever you go. I mean, the clerks are nice in these stores. They're very nice guys. I don't know how they put up with people. Then I always get sad in that department store because they have a piano player. It breaks my heart to hear it. I see a grown man sitting at a piano in the middle of the day, and I have the kind of kaleidoscopic mind. I know that this kid, it was like, let's say he was a C-talent musician, but he's like 45, good-looking guy in a tuxedo playing in a department store. So all I don't see that. I see sadness coming my way. Why? I see all the way back to the first grade, kindergarten, preschool. Oh, look at that. Billy's talented. Let's take lessons. And the mother and father kill themselves. They pay for the lessons. And they encourage him to go to the high school of performing farts and blah, blah, blah. And the kid becomes an artiste and he struggles his whole life. And he's living on next to nothing. And here he is, 45, playing a piano in a department store. I'm not putting the guy down. But I hear the music and I get depressed. I don't want to hear the music there. I don't want to hear a piano in a department store. Because I don't just see the guy. I see like a whole tragedy there. Well, what are you going to do? I guess they pay him something. I have no idea. So I'm not a shopaholic is what I'm saying. I sat up there on a hill looking at the bay and looking at I fed some fish. I have a place on a, in a hidden place with a fish pond. It's funny, you know, the fish have babies. They haven't given up a desire to reproduce. It's funny. I guess they haven't read the New York Times. They don't realize how primitive they are. The boy fish and the girl fish still do it. And there's minnows. There's big fish and then there's minnows. I guess they haven't read the San Francisco Chronicle, realizing how gauche they are. Laying eggs. Ugh. Viviparous reproduction. Yuck. Yuck. Eggs. Ugh. Yeah, that's not cute. You know, the woman fish gets fat. Ooh, she loses her shape. She doesn't look like a drunk stew bum on Sunset Boulevard puking on herself, going to prison for driving drunk. Ooh, that's the princess of the United States of America, a drunk stew bum who pukes on herself.
Savage.